Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The day the border is controlled, you'd like to be able to have a guest worker card and a guest worker program so that people could cross the border legally to a legal job, having a legal guest worker program. And I think you would implement it shortly after controlling the border, but you'd be developing it at the very same time that you're developing a control of the border.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Savage Nation. You just heard the GOPAC tick himself, Newt Gingrich, again exhibiting his chameleon-like behavior, calling for granting amnesty to illegal aliens along with the Democrats and the check pants Republicans. What I'm about to disclose for you on the Savage Nation should come as a shock if your head has been in the sand. It will not come as a shock if you realize that we have a criminal government in power, the most illegal, anti-American, anti-business, middle-class attacking government in American history. And I am talking straight up here to you, and I'm not going to mince words. And now you know why they want to shut down talk radio. What I'm about to tell you will explain to you finally why the criminal gangsters in government, not all of them, but the criminal gangsters in government, don't want me on the air. Remember when I wrote Trickle Up Poverty and I had a big chapter on Obamacare and I told you it was illegal? I told you it was unconstitutional. I told you that Congress couldn't repeal it. I told you it's just a waste of time, that it will be repealed when an individual such as you sues and says a government can't force me to buy anything. It's discriminatory. There are exemptions for people. Why should I not be exempted? It will go to the Supreme Court and Obamacare will be thrown out in the courts, is my opinion. Now, I told you during the period I was promoting my book that there would be people exempted for religious reasons. And the liars on the left, meaning the Democrats and the check pants Republicans, said, oh, no, that won't happen. They're not going to exempt people for religious reasons. Well, I'll read it to you right now. Starting in 2014, anyone not buying qualifying health insurance approved by Nancy Pelosi must pay an income surtax according to the amounts that I'm going to read to you, an income surtax so that Nancy Pelosi and friends can profit. But who is exempt from the health care plan? Who is exempt from this tax? Religious objectors, I guess that would be determined by Janet Napolitano. Illegal aliens, prisoners, shall I go on? Illegal aliens will not have to buy Obamacare policies. Prisoners will not have to buy Obamacare policies. Those earning less than the poverty line, and here comes the stinger, members of Indian tribes. So even if you're making $20 million a year as an Indian gambling executive or the owner of an Indian gambling casino because you have 1/50th Indian blood, you will be exempt from Obamacare. If you are a hardship case determined by a goon in the HHS, you will be exempt. If an employer does not offer health coverage, and at least one employee qualifies for a health tax credit, well, you get the picture. There will be a surtax coming as well. The surtax is going to go through the roof. The increase in taxes to pay for this criminal Obamacare will bankrupt the entire middle class. In 2010, the capital gains taxes are at 15%, which are kind of modest in a way. As far as I'm concerned, there should be no capital gains tax at all, in that you've been taxed already. But let's put that aside. In 2011, 20%. In 2013, 23%. 2013, Obama budget, 24%. 23.8, to be specific. How about excise tax on comprehensive health insurance? Well, you've gone to sleep already. But there are other taxes. Tax on medical device manufacturers. Tax on indoor tanning services. Elimination of tax deduction. Well, you get the picture. They're going to tax charitable hospitals. A tax on innovator drug companies. $2.3 billion annual tax on the industry imposed relative to the share of sales made that year. In other words, if you want to see a country that produces no medications at all, if you want to become Cuba, in other words, where a new medicine has never been developed, or let us say Portugal, where a new medicine has never been developed, or any other socialist hellhole, which has taxed pharmaceutical companies out of business, welcome to America under Obama. Because when you start taxing drug companies and you punish them for innovation, why should they innovate? Why should they invest any more money? It's all in a new article that is out on a comprehensive list of tax hikes in Obamacare. The news for you to take home is the following. The following individuals will be exempt from Obamacare. Exemptions for religious objectors. That could mean anybody, by the way. Illegal aliens, no Obamacare. Prisoners, no Obamacare, etc. and so on, including members of Indian tribes without regard to their income level. It's just enough that you're an American Indian. What percentage, by the way, of blood must you be Indian in order to be exempt? 1/16? 1/32? Will there be government inspectors now, racial anthropologists of the sort we saw in the Third Reich, who will examine you to see how much blood you have to qualify as an Indian? What exactly is the rule on members of Indian tribes? What percent of your blood has to be Native American to exempt you? I'd like to get the answer to that question. And who will do it? Some racial anthropologist for Obama? Let's go to the first caller today. Maine Scott, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak to you. I want to say there's nobody out there right now that I don't think that can beat Obama, in 2012. You got me really excited, talking about Donald Trump, stuff like that. I hope he runs. I hope somebody like that. You talk about the chameleon. I thought he was...
No, it's a nightmare to see what Newt Gingrich today called for amnesty for illegal aliens in more words than one. Because now he's trying to run for the presidency, the GOPAC tick, and he figures now he can get the Hispanic vote by offering him amnesty.
Right, and he's not going to win without it.
Listen, he will never win with it. Newt Gingrich is unelectable. He's not electable. The man lives in his own world. The only people who would think Newt Gingrich is possibly electable would be people in the media who he visits with on a regular basis. It's very much like Giuliani. When Giuliani ran, remember I said he's not popular west of the Hudson River. No one heard of him. No one likes him. No one will vote for him. And no one believed me. The minute he went national, he collapsed in the polls. It's the same with all of these guys living in their own world. They can't win. I know who the American people would vote for. I'll give you a name. You ready for another name? Here's a name of someone who could win. Chris Christie of New Jersey. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yep.
Chris Christie, former federal prosecutor, certifiably good man, understands and knows the middle class's needs and wants, governor of New Jersey, straight talker, straight shooter. He could win the presidency if the Republican Party would come to understand they can't run an insider.
That's right. Or if they could get behind him. What about Bobby Jindal?
Bobby Jindal's unelectable. Unelectable. He's not hurt. No one knows of him. He came in, he was like a shooting star for a little while. Unelectable. Please don't say the guitar player for Fox. Whatever you do, don't mention the guitar player on Fox News.
Ever since I've been listening to you, I really stopped listening to Fox News, tell you the truth.
Well, even Rush Limbaugh now is in a fight with Fox News, which is a shock. Did you see this? Did you hear about this today?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, maybe there's hope for me yet. But a feud has broken out between Rush Limbaugh and the so-called all-star panel on Fox News because the panel praised Obama's speech at the memorial for the Arizona shooting victims. So speaking on his radio show yesterday, Limbaugh slammed the panelists, which included Britt Hume, you know who he is, Charles Krauthammer, you know who he is and what he's worth, Chris Wallace, that's Meatball Jr., for their comments that were, in Limbaugh's words, slobbering over his comments for the predictable reasons. Limbaugh said that Obama's speech was smart, it was articulate, it was oratorical, it was all the things the educated ruling class wants their members to be and sound like. So then, that night, Charles Krauthammer, the sourest man in the media, always nasty and always mean, went on the air frankly and counterattacked against Rush Limbaugh. I think this is a very positive sign for America that Rush Limbaugh has finally stepped apart from the middle of the rotors on Fox News. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so. I want it for you.
It's a Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I mean, I'd rather like goof around this afternoon. It's Friday, but I can't. I'm agitated. Now you're going to find out exactly why the illiberals want to ban talk radio. Because the information that I'm giving you today, you will not read in your local paper. You're not going to get it on television. You're not going to get it anywhere but on this show. We learned just now that under Obamacare, the illegal, unconstitutional, socialized medicine, something akin to that you would find in Cuba, is filled with exemptions. Illegal aliens, they don't have to buy Obamacare. Let us see. Prisoners, you'd expect, of course, not. They get free medical care, better than you get, by the way. Let us see who else. Religious exemption, you name the religion. You can probably get an exemption. You could say that you're a member of a religion that doesn't believe in socialized medicine, I guess. Let us see what else. American Indian, what percent of your blood has to be American Indian? Don't know. Exempt. Even if you're making $50 million a year in a casino, you're exempt from Obamacare. So on the face of it, since it is biased, and since there are exemptions for people based upon such reasons, you could claim that it's not fair, and you could sue the government, take it to court, and probably win. And my guess is what I said to you. The show trial that the Republicans are going to engage in next week of repealing Obamacare is a waste of time. The only way to repeal Obamacare is individuals suing the government and taking it to the Supreme Court. Now, I want to go back to March 5th, 2010. I'm always ahead of the curve, and on March 5th of last year, I wrote a monologue that was entitled, right for this show, Use Religious Freedoms to Challenge Obamacare by Michael Savage. I want to read you portions of it. I said, use religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. Obama is preparing to shove socialized medicine down our throats. And in order to do so, he's decided to blow up the U.S. Senate. He announced that rather than follow the rules of the U.S. Senate, which requires 60 votes to end debate on any issue, the Democrats will use a method called reconciliation to pass the bill with only 51 Senate votes. You remember what he did? You remember the tricks that they used, him and Nancy Pelosi? Obama had decided to use the nuclear option to force his will on the American people. Now, I'm going to skip some of what I said because it's too much information here. On top of that, he's going to make young people who don't need health insurance pay to support illegal aliens who don't pay for health care at all. Did you hear that one? You young moronic liberals, you're going to be forced to buy health insurance to pay for illegal aliens who will not pay for health care at all. Maybe you don't know this, I wrote, but making individual Americans buy health insurance is unconstitutional. Remember when I wrote this in May of 2010. It's true that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate interstate commerce. But in order for this to apply, Congress must be regulating some kind of economic activity. But a health care mandate doesn't regulate any sort of activity. Just being an American would trigger it. I then go into something that's extremely important. All of this is really spelled out in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, in a different way and in great detail. I wrote this. This isn't the first time that big government has tried to force nonsensical and draconian regulation on the American people. This was FDR's approach in the 1930s under his Socialist New Deal program. But his dictatorial schemes came into conflict with four Jewish brothers in New York, the Schechter brothers, who ran two kosher butcher shops in Brooklyn. You see, Roosevelt created the National Recovery Administration, the NRA, during the Depression to socialize America. It drew up all kinds of detailed codes for individual industries, telling how firms had to do their business. The Schechter brothers, the kosher butchers from Brooklyn, fell under rules which said customers could buy a whole or a half a coop of chickens, but they couldn't make a selection of particular birds. This was in direct conflict with Jewish kosher laws, which required the removal of unhealthy animals from the stock. I know this is probably boring you, right? You don't want to hear about kosher chickens and the Schechter brothers, but just bear with me. It was a violation of their religious freedom, but the courts found the Schechter brothers guilty of allowing their customers to buy individual chickens ahead of whole coops, and they all went to jail. Did you know FDR jailed the kosher butchers? Then what happened? They appealed it. The case made it to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court found in favor of these four Jewish butchers by a unanimous decision. The Supreme Court held that FDR's regulations were in excess of congressional power under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution and invalidated them. Now listen to this. This is worth the whole show, what I'm going to read to you now. Speaking to aides of Roosevelt, Justice Louis Brandeis remarked the following. This is the end of this business of centralization, and I want you to go back and tell the president that we're not going to let this government centralize everything, close quote. I wrote then the same message should be sent to Obama. Now, it's interesting to me, Louis Brandeis was a liberal jurist who opposed totalitarian centralization. There's a liberal university named Brandeis University, as you well know, named after him. And I would bet you that 99% of the professors at Brandeis University are not even aware that the namesake of their university was opposed to centralization. I'll go on. Shall I go on? I'll go on. Here's my suggestion, I wrote. Wait a minute. Actually, this is very interesting. Here it is. I found something that you didn't know. It said, but this time around, Obama the dictator has made religious exemptions for health care insurance. Here's what I found in May. The Amish won't be required to buy health insurance. Christian Scientists won't be required to buy it. As modern medical care violates their religious convictions. So that's interesting, right? So then I wrote this. So here's my suggestion. If they can make exceptions for these religious groups, let's find other religious groups that they'll have to find exemptions for until there are so many people exempted from the system that they won't possibly be able to pay for Obamacare. And I wrote, let's think about the possibilities. So when I come back on the Savage Nation, I'm going to give you examples of how Jews, Muslims, and Christians will be able to exempt themselves based on religious reasons from Obamacare. Nobody else in radio can do this, but I'm going to do it. Because we're facing a dictatorship of the government media complex. And this is why they want talk radio ended. And this is why they want Michael Savage off the air.
Savage.
It is Friday night on the Savage Nation. I know that most people would rather be doing something other than worrying about what Obama's doing to America next, but you can't blink with this guy. This guy uses every crisis to steal another portion of our freedom. Everywhere you turn, these left-wing activists are stealing our freedom. Now, I recognize they don't want us to talk about Obamacare, and they're trying to cover it up with the Tucson massacre, saying that, yeah, right, we're too violent where we are, provoking the people. Well, let me ask you something. Do you think it's appropriate that we found out today that there are people who are exempted from paying an excise tax to pay for Obamacare, and that includes illegal aliens, prisoners, members of Indian tribes, and anyone exempted for religious reasons? Do you think that that's American? Do you think that that's constitutional? I don't. And do you think it's worth discussing? I do. And don't you think that there's an agenda from Obama and the entire pack of left-wing radical socialists in the government who don't want us to discuss what he's done to this country by means legal and illegal over this past year? The only people who would accept that this is valid would be those who are benefiting from it. But there's no point in talking about it. Here's another study. I'm going to show you the bias in the media. I saw this today. I got very upset. You want to hear about a bias here? Fox News Latino. It's a news site now. Fox News Latino. CDC report detailing racial health disparity has grim news for Latinos. Now, you got to read this. And it says, there's health disparities based upon race. And then you read down and it says, while teenage pregnancy rates fell among all ethnic groups, Hispanic girls were three times more likely than whites to end up pregnant. That's a racial health disparity, according to the lunatics in the media who have taken this statistic of teenage pregnancies and said that there's some kind of racism involved in the fact that Hispanic girls are three times more likely than whites to end up pregnant. In other words, there's no relation. What is that, like an illness to them? Do you understand that liberalism is a mental disorder? That's a true illness. To make a statement like this and to say that teenage pregnancy rates are somehow based on racism, not based upon behavior, is insanity. Now, here's another one. Mexican Americans have the least success in controlling high blood pressure, even though it is blacks and whites that have the highest high blood pressure rate. I have to read that again to show you the double talk and the lies coming out of the media today. Mexican Americans have the least success in controlling high blood pressure, even though it is blacks and whites that have the highest high blood pressure rate. No one could even decipher what that means. Then they blame it all on air pollution. And it says, large disparities in infant mortality rates persist. Infants born to black women are 1.5 to 3 times more likely to die than infants born to women of other races or ethnicities. Well, what does that have to do with Latinos? Nothing. Nothing. Again, nothing. So again, what they want you to understand is that there's no rationale anymore whatsoever in the government media complex. That's what I want you to understand. Why should I eat my heart out? What is this now? Questions for the Savage Nation. Maybe we should do something else. No one's calling about any of this because there's nothing you could say. There's nothing you could say about any of this. It's heartbreaking to see what this government under Obama is doing to the middle class. You talk about painting a target. Obama painted a target on the middle class. How's that? Is that indictable? Should I be investigated by the Department of Homeland Security for saying that? What can't I say now? If I say that Obama has painted a target on the middle class, is there something inherently violent in what I just said? No, because it's true. Obama has painted a target on the middle class. Why do I say that? Case in point. Exempted from tax hikes in Obamacare include undocumented immigrants, meaning illegal aliens who broke into the nation, members of Indian tribes, religious objectors, I don't know what that means, I guess the Amish won't be paying, etc. So there are so many other aspects of this that you have to see, and many of you don't understand you're going to be killed by this. Again, I guess that word's a loaded word, and I can't say that. You have to even watch what I say, target, kill. There's certain words you can't say now. Let's see, target, I can't use killed by this as a political phrase. This is aimed at you, I can't say that. Let's go through the words I should no longer use for fear that Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island may ban me from talk radio because he's such a superb liberal. Let's say targeting us, can't use that. Aiming at the middle class, can't use that. I'll put an X to that. Bullseye on the middle class, right? That wouldn't be any good. So targeting, aiming, bullseye. What else can't we use in talk radio anymore? We can't get angry because anger unto itself is considered a crime now under Janet Napolitano. So anger is not allowed. Anger can be suspect unto itself. Anyone angry could possibly go into a photo machine in a G-string with a Glock and take a picture of himself or herself, assuming that it's not gender-driven. Did you hear about that? That just came out, that the lunatic in Tucson, the maniac, shooter, murderer, homicidal maniac, alleged, the night before the alleged shootings, went into a photo machine and took a picture of himself with a G-string with a Glock automatic. Now, I don't know whether we should ban photo machines, G-strings, or Glocks, but I'm sure that Obama's minions are looking into it. They're already blaming Walmart for the ammunition. But you could say that they should ban photo machines when you think about it, Doug. I mean, I really think that they should ban photo machines because if you think about it, if the Tucson shooter did not have access to a photo machine in Walgreens the night before the shooting, let's say photo machines had been banned because the government didn't control the photo machine, and God knows an individual might use it as part of a homicidal plot, perhaps it would have broken the cycle that his mind had fallen into because he fell through the cracks of medical care because it's such a bad system because Obamacare wasn't there. And soon you'll hear that if we only had Obamacare, this poor individual who killed these people in Arizona wouldn't have, quote, fallen through the cracks of society. He would have gotten the care he needed. But to get back to my main point, I think that there's an argument that could be made by Lincoln Chafee to ban photo machines because, as I say, that can be part of the cycle of homicide in the minds of a madman, as well as G-strings now. I think Janet Napolitano ought to raid any store that sells G-strings in America, because we now see that they're intimately related to homicidal urges in some individuals, at least one individual. But there's no reason you can't generalize from that one individual. And you can now generalize that G-strings are dangerous and part of a homicidal cycle. And I'm sure that if you could have broken that cycle, if this lunatic in Tucson had not had access to a G-string and to a photo machine, it might have broken the cycle of homicidal mania in him, and perhaps he would have gone home and just laid down and cried mommy. You never know, right? So as I say, there's a lot of things that need to be legislated by Lincoln Chafee and Janet Napolitano. The least that they have to worry about, though, is Islamophobia. Because radical Islam is not really a threat in this country. The only thing that they have to worry about are photo machines and G-strings. And I believe that there should be a full and thorough FBI investigation of photo machine suppliers. Because there's obviously a linkage now between the Tucson shooter and the photo machine. And I believe that a full and thorough congressional hearing on G-strings and photo machines is long overdue. I think that the perfect man to head this Senate committee, the G-String Investigation Committee, would be Chuck Schumer. If governors want to get involved, Lincoln Chafee could handle the photo machine investigation and perhaps ban them across state lines. I mean, I really think that they ought to ban the shipment of photo machines across state lines, Babel, now that I think about it. You know, because, look, if that photo machine had not been shipped to Arizona and it had been kept, you know, in the manufacturing plant, I'm not kidding you. I mean, you could argue that the lunatic who went there the night before with the G-string on and the Glock in the photo machine might have, somehow he could have been like deterred. What if he had not found the G-string? I think we should put the G-men on the G-strings. That's what I'm saying. We should sick the G-men on the G-strings. This is a real scandal right now, and I frankly think that it's long overdue that we have a full and thorough congressional investigation of G-string manufacturers, because I think that there's some kind of plot between G-string manufacturers and photo machine manufacturers. And frankly, I think that they should all be sued for the massacre because they were somehow implicated along with the ammunition that was sold in Walmart. So there it is. That's breaking new ground on the Savage Nation, unlike breaking wind on MSNBC. Keith Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Maybe we should look into suing China for inventing gunpowder that then...
You raise a good point. I think that every male of Chinese descent, whether they're domestic or foreign, should pay a certain percentage towards a reparations fund for all the people injured by gunpowder over the millennia.
That might help us get out of our debt crisis.
No, that's very interesting. What if every male of Chinese descent over the age of 21 had to pay a reparation for their ancestors' invention of gunpowder? I think that would help balance the budget, wouldn't it?
It just goes right past Walmart. Bigger pockets.
Well, what do you think about banning photo machines and G-strings?
Oh, absolutely. And, well, you have to make sure that the clip is not high capacity either. We need to ban
What do you mean? The hair clip that he put on his head? Oh, you mean the bullet clip?
The ammunition.
What if he put on a hair clip that was high capacity that could hold a lot of hair? No, I mean, you think about it. This is definitely worthy of an investigation by the government. You know, hair clips can be dangerous. They can become assault hair clips.
Eric Holder is probably just drooling right now.
I really think that this is now considered, I mean, this could be considered a conspiracy amongst photo machine manufacturers. It's an assault photo machine and an assault G-string. It's all part and parcel of the complex, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, you got to fight insanity with bigger absurdity. That's all I can say. And you got to mock government when it's so out of control.
I really enjoy your show. It's just the best entertainment. But
listen, certain words I can never use again: targeting, aiming, bullseye, and anger. I can't use.
Absolutely.
Can I use sarcasm? Am I allowed to use sarcasm on my radio show anymore?
Well, then you're out of business.
You know, I really think that they should investigate sarcasm and satire and consider banning it because it's offensive to some, Keith. And you realize how hurtful sarcasm has been over the centuries and satire?
That young man...
I actually think that all satirical novels should be burned by the Department of Homeland Security. I think going back to the first satirical novel, wherever it was written or writing, I think there should be a huge national bonfire, and all good liberals should bring in copies of Animal Farm, Brave New World. Any satire or sarcastic commentary should be thrown into the pyre in order to make certain that individuals who are sensitive are not grieving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. They could ban me from saying targeting, aiming, bullseye. But let me tell you something. One thing they can't ban is sarcasm and satire. And at the end of the day, if that's all I have left, let me tell you something. I'll still tell you what's going on. Okay? The phone number you know already. The website you know already. You know it's the Savage Nation already. Don't go to break, Phil, because I think that I need a breather. So let me think about some rock and roll I want, Phil. Come on. No, stop. That's dirty. I don't like that song. That could be connoted as some kind of X-rated song in the eyes of the new administration. Hanani Ding Dong, I'm sorry, crosses the line, Phil. We have to go to something. How about In the Still of the Night? I think that might still be legal to play in the United States of America on talk radio. Although there could be a subliminal message in this song. Let's listen. Let's listen, because there could be a message in this song. All right, stop it. You can't play this song anymore on the Savage Nation, Phil, and I'll tell you why. This could be construed by a mentally unstable person who's wearing a G-string and has a Glock and goes in a photo machine as a message to his subconscious to conduct some kind of criminal homicidal act in the still of the night. So break that record. We're going to have to go through our entire library of rock and roll from the 50s and make certain that we sanitize these songs for the new America under Janet Napolitano. I'll be right back.
Savage. One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around 10 o'clock tonight. Put your glad flags
up. All right, stop, Phil. Still, you can't play that song in this show ever again in the Savage Nation. In compliance with the new governmental request, which is now voluntary, not mandatory, we on the Savage Nation are reviewing all of our archival music, 50s rock and roll and such, for any potential either subliminal message that may be in the song or concepts that could trigger unstable individuals into some homicidal act. And so we can no longer play Rock Around the Clock because if an individual's in a photo booth busy with his G-string, he might think he's hearing Glock Around the Clock, and it could set him off on a rampage, right? So that's it. That's over with. Okay, let's try the next one, Phil. Let's see if the next one. Oh, no, stop. Shaboom, no good. For obvious reasons, an unstable individual could be triggered with the word shaboom, just the word shaboom. You know, now that I'm looking around my studio, I realize there are many things that the FBI or Homeland Security should be looking into. I have a can of Planters peanuts in my hand. And there's the friendly little guy with the monocle and the top hat. But look what it says. Nutrition. As a takeoff on nutrition. It says nutrition. Now, if you were a person who just smoked salvia, you could think the world is mocking you and calling you a nut and telling you you look like a kind of grotesque peanut. And then you could be triggered into some kind of homicidal act. So I think that Planters nutrition boxes should be banned by the FBI, because it could trigger an aging sea lion who has lost his tusks into some kind of unstable activity. Do we have another song that we can try on the Savage Nation? Let me see. No, stop right there. Heartache. No, because a nut who lost a girlfriend who never had one, a sexually frustrated, testosterone-ridden male who is, let's say, dying for a woman. If he listened to this song, Heartache, God only knows what it might do to him. He might go out on a rampage. So I think that song should be banned from the airwaves as well. If any of you are listening to the Savage Nation and can think of some other rock and roll songs I have played over the years on the show that are now in the light of the new America, the kinder America, the more gentle America, the Lincoln Chafee America, the America that we all want to live in, where certain songs are no longer permitted, talk radio is not permitted, please call us with your requests, and we'll be glad to play and break that record. Pittsburgh, Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, yes. I have an idea for what you can do about the photo booth. You can hire the TSA or some other kind of federal agency to man all of the photo booths, and then they have to interrogate
them. Wait a minute. You have a good idea that we could create an entire corps of photo booth soldiers. That would fit in with Obama's private army that he promised during the election to his left-wing constituents. He did want to create a private army. He could hire the Black Panthers to look to make sure that photo booths are not frequented by people in G-strings.
Exactly. And you could also reduce unemployment that way.
That's right. It's not a bad job. I mean, we do need to create a whole new division of the U.S. government, a photo booth watching cabinet. I think this should be a cabinet-level appointment, don't you, Andrew?
I think that would work well.
I believe this is as important as the Department of Defense would be watching photo booths. And I think maybe on the side they could go down the aisles and look for any planter, anything that says nut in it, like Planters Nutrition stands out. But anything else that has the word nut in it could trigger an unstable individual, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I want everyone listening to Savage Nation, please be on the lookout over the weekend for any food stuff that has the word nut in it, even if it's small letters, because, unstable people see things differently than you do. So let's say you're reading a package, and in a little small print it says, may contain nuts. I think any food label that says even may contain nuts should be banned from America. Because what if an unstable man in a G-string who just came out of a photo booth looks at that small print and says, may contain nuts? He could take that personally and go off. See what I mean? You've got to think the way the government thinks.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Your eye like a bigger pizza pie. That's
well, ladies and gentlemen, this may be the last time I will play this song on the Savage Nation, because in light of the fact that there is talk of the Democrats using the rampage backlash to kill talk radio, I am preemptively going through the archives of all of my old rock and roll songs, and we're going to purge the library, the music library, of any song that could trigger a nut into a violent act. So play it up so they know what I'm talking about.
When the moon hits your eye.
Bingo, no more, never again, because he said when the moon hits your eye. Now think, if you're an unstable individual wearing a G-string, and you've just gone into a photo booth with a Glock, and you hear this song coming over the Walmart speaker system after you've bought your ammo, this could trigger a homicidal a rage in you, so we're never going to play that. We do not want to trigger unstable individuals. We're not going to use the word targeting, aiming, bullseye. Anything of that nature will be banned from the Savage Nation, because we certainly want to comply with what's going on in America today. Right now, we understand that there's a rush to protect Congress, and so we want to help them. Feds race to protect Congress and stop a rampage of copycats. And I mean that seriously. I mean, that's an important thing to do. And there's no end to where the government could go with this, and I certainly want to make sure that I do my part in protecting our society from any act of violence. So we read right now that there's a manhunt going on from local police to the FBI, law enforcement agencies nationwide. especially those responsible for protecting Congress, are knocking on doors, interrogating suspects, and pouring through prior intelligence reports in the wake of the tragic Tucson shooting rampage in an effort to head off any copycat killers or other acts of violence. And they've started to arrest people, investigate people, interrogate people, and more are expected in the days to come in order to make certain that we don't see any copycats going on right now. So the fact of the matter is, this is a good thing. It's good for law enforcement to be preemptive, break down doors, take people in. Anybody who might be violent should be arrested by the FBI and asked questions later. And law enforcement officers always worry that one high-profile violent rampage could lead to others. I'm reading this article now. Asked to comment on reports that Capitol Police and federal agents are asking members of Congress to provide the names of any potential threats they're aware of in their districts, FBI spokesman William Carter commented to Newsmax via email, quote, "Over the last week, law enforcement at all levels has been actively engaging members and staff in Washington, D.C. to ensure all appropriate security precautions are taken in this current threat environment." Emphasis on the words current threat environment. In other words, they've now generalized it from one mad lunatic who smoked salvia to a broad-based current threat environment. And so now security professionals around the country are breaking down doors in order to protect us. And it's very important. I think that they should create I think that Obama should create a private army right now. I think he should deputize the Black Panthers, for one, who should look for any potential threatening individual and arrest that individual, because the last thing you want is violence. And I think that we should have all of our liberties suspended immediately. You see, just ask Clay Bowler, a grassroots conservative who lives near Springfield, Missouri. On Tuesday, somebody knocked on his door. It turned out to be the FBI. As first reported on a Springfield television station, Bowler was questioned about his exercise of his First Amendment rights and pointed questions he had asked about Rep. Billy Long, who was elected in November to represent Missouri's 7th Congressional District. The agent who visited Bowler this week was accompanied by the sheriff from a neighboring county, Sheriff Jim Arnott of Greene County, Missouri. Now listen to this. Bowler, who questioned Long's conservative bona fides during the campaign, told Newsmax that both the agent and the sheriff told him they had received a complaint from the congressman's office that he had confronted the congressman in a threatening manner. But Bowler said, "I never made any threats to the congressman. I'd never even been disrespectful to the congressman." According to Bowler, who says he videotaped his encounter with the agent and the sheriff Tuesday, both officers told him they were investigating a report of a threat that had come from Representative Long's office, and the Gestapo must get to the bottom of everything in this country, every report, no matter how minor. Bowler, who created an anti-Long blog that he took down after the election, tells Newsmax that the FBI visit was intimidating. He says he believes it was politically motivated as payback for his conservative activities. Fortunately, Bowler said he was able to show a videotape made, blah, 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 blah. Now, there's another indication of a stepped-up government intervention to make sure that there's no violence in the country. As you know, there was a high school wrestling coach, Jacob Volkman, as a mixed martial arts fighter. He was suspended from his job as a high school wrestling coach at White Bear Lake High School in Minnesota because he made a statement about President Obama not too long ago. And the Secret Service came and knocked on his door, and they said to Volkman that you can't say the president is not too bright. And therefore, they suspended him from his teaching job. He has since expressed regret for his remarks. At Dix Hills, New York, a man was arrested Thursday at Newark Liberty International in New Jersey after allegedly threatening to kill SEC commission and other financial regulatory officials. Well, that's a different story. A Palm Springs, California man was arrested Wednesday for making two expletive-laced threatening phone calls in the district of U.S. Rep. Jim McDermott of Washington. He allegedly threatened to kill a congressman, his friends, and his family. Well, that's serious stuff, and they, of course, should be arrested for those kind of threats. But you know what's going to happen. You know that the government's going to overreach. You know that they're going to use this now to suspend civil rights, although they're going to say they're not doing it. You know that right now there's a mass hysteria raging through this country, and you know that the illegitimate vermin on the left are going to use the rampage in a bid to kill talk radio, even though the homicidal maniac who committed the murders in Tucson, according to his own friend, never listened to talk radio. But that doesn't stop Representative Jim Clyburn saying free speech is as free speech does. And Representative Louise Slaughter, D. New York, has expressed similar sentences saying that sentiments saying that the FCC is not working anymore. And she said, Democrats and Republicans really talk about what we can do to cool down the country, SlaughterToldTheHill.com. Part of that has to be what they're hearing over the airwaves. So Representative Slaughter knows more than I do about the First Amendment because she was, I guess she has an inherent knowledge of the First Amendment that I myself don't have. It's true. I've written 25 books. I have a PhD and two master's degrees. I may not have the intelligence level of Representative Louise Slaughter, Democrat, New York. And so I think that we should defer to a representative from a small little district, a Sleepy Hollow district in New York, to tell us what the First Amendment means. I think it's very important that we have civility and decency in speech. In fact, Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee, remember him when he was a senator? He said he's going to boycott talk radio appearances and ban all state employees from commenting to talk radio hosts. And then he said that he wants advertisers to stop advertising on our shows. My God, that's quite a jump, isn't it? So there it is. So now there's a jump now from the alleged act of a mentally unstable 22-year-old drug user who smoked marijuana, who smoked salvia, who we're now seeing the government leap in action, and now they're generalizing it, and they're trying to reimpose the unfairness doctrine, the fascist fairness doctrine. And so here we are. We're seeing it happen right away. So there it is. Even Al Sharpton, as you well know, he's an expert on free speech. He's a superbly gifted intellectual. Al Sharpton, one of the most brilliant men in America. He was actually invited to Obama's FCC this week in the aftermath of the shooting incident to pressure the agency to rein in free expression on the airwaves. And that's very important that Al Sharpton be the judge and the referee in this, because although he allegedly stated that a white detective named Pagona smeared a young black lady in feces, which turned out to be a bald-faced lie. And although Al Sharpton allegedly egged on a crowd to burn down Freddie's Fashion Mart with a megaphone, we have all forgotten that. In the new America, we forget the past. And all you have to know is that Bill O'Reilly likes him and has him on Fox News. So therefore, he is now the arbiter of what is fair on the airwaves. And I think that, frankly, I think that there'd be a special appointment by the Obama administration of Al Sharpton to oversee talk radio, because nobody knows what polite and kind speech is better than Al Sharpton. And I believe that an analyst like Al Sharpton, who has such a high education and such a fine, fine history of fairness, should be consulted. In fact, should be the new czar, if you want to go to the real level. That I think Al Sharpton should be made Obama's czar of the FCC. Or no, the czar of talk radio. I'm sorry, I was limiting him. I think that Al Sharpton should become the czar of talk radio to make certain that there is fairness on the airwaves. Now, it is true he had his own show that no one listened to, which is, of course, why he's running to a big daddy government to see if somehow he can now become the czar of talk radio and maybe get a gig that way. And so, you know, anything could happen right now. We have to understand that free speech is not free. And we have to understand that some individuals are freer than others to engage in free speech. And at the top of the list would be Al Sharpton. He has the right, he has the credentials, he has the education, he has the background, he has the history, he has the knowledge, he has the superiority of the oppressed. And therefore, I am now electing, I'm actually imploring the government, I'm begging the government to put Al Sharpton in as the czar of talk radio across America, because nobody better typifies moderation in speech than Al Sharpton. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up.
All right, we got to stop and break this record because the word devil itself could be offensive to people who practice devil worship. And if you say devil or angel, it could be an implied put down. And as you well know, the Tucson Rampage shooter had skulls in his backyard, and a thing like that could make him feel upset and set him off. You know, in 2007, I was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award by Talkers Magazine. I, Michael Savage, won it. It's one of my proudest awards. And I wrote a little thing called The Dying Light of Satire. It's only two paragraphs long. I had no idea that I was seeing into the future when a martinet of the far left would take over America, because the economy had been destroyed by manipulators. That's my opinion, not illegal, I guess. Manipulators broke Wall Street, broke the back of the middle class, ushered in a financial crisis, had the millions of people think that Obama was the savior, and now we have overt Marxist-Leninism in the United States of America. So I wrote this. I didn't know this would happen so quickly, the dying light of satire. Years ago in the United States, liberals were heard to utter the phrase, I may disagree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the right, to the death, your right to say it. See, the word death itself is suspect. When was the last time you heard a liberal utter this phrase? On the left in this country, the idea that you can disagree with someone and yet still support their freedom of speech has become anathema. The left is filled with martinets who are more concerned with sensitivity than truth, who are more concerned with getting along and going along than whether our nation and our society is failing, who are more concerned with making a buck than they are seeing justice served. They would destroy satire, they would destroy sarcasm. They would destroy ridicule, even when it is in the service of the greater good. And here's what I wrote. Michael Savage, 2007. We are entering a new dark age. We are on the brink of the humorless society. We are coming to a time when only the drab and ignorant are allowed to speak, when anything that contains wit is suspect, when anything that pokes fun at the entrenched forces of power must be crushed, when all thought that deviates from the accepted parameters of correctness will be expunged. Do not go gentle into that good night, I wrote. Of course, I'm quoting someone. Rage, rage against the dying of the light of satire. For satire illuminates. Satire enlightens. Satire exposes fools and villains for who they are. And if satire is claimed as the prey of a malevolent and humorless liberal establishment, then that light will die and the world will enter into 1,000 years of darkness. I got chills up my spine. It's so frighteningly prescient. We are entering a new dark age, I wrote in 2007, under the dying light of satire, when only the humorless, the drab, and the ignorant will be allowed to speak. And they are the ones who are now speaking on the Democrat side. They're all drab, they're ignorant, they're humorless, but they're dangerous. They're dangerous. They want to now pass regulations against freedom of speech. But I have good news for you. I have very, very good news for you because I just read an article from, again, Newsmax. It's very interesting. They're the best on this. I'm going to quote a paragraph. Boston University Communication Professor Tobe Berkovitz told Newsmax there is absolutely not any reason to link the Tucson rampage to a reconsideration of the merits of the fairness doctrine. Listen to why. The effort to impose fairness on broadcast media, he points out, was based on the scarcity of frequency options available in the age of pre-digital media. Moreover, media content regulation traditionally has relied on the impact on the average viewer or listener, which clearly would not apply to the Tucson suspect. He went on. Now, here's a critical one. All regulation was based on this concept of spectrum scarcity and limited resources, Berkovitz explains. In today's communications marketplace, in fact, there's more scarcity in print than there is over the electronic spectrum, whether it's the number of cable television channels we have, the almost limited number of websites and blogs, the FM spectrum, streaming audio. So the whole reason for the fairness doctrine has evaporated. Regardless of your politics and whether you think the content is good or bad. Did you hear any of this? He meant the almost unlimited number of websites and blogs, the FM spectrum, streaming audio. So he says the electronic spectrum scarcity, which was the original rationale behind the fairness doctrine, no longer exists. There is no spectrum scarcity. And the reason you have a demagogue like Al Sharpton screaming the loudest about talk radio, you got to ban it, is because he tried his luck at this field and flopped. Nobody listened to him. So now he's gone to his buddies in the Obama administration like some great diplomat, and he's trying to peddle the fairness doctrine because he's jealous of the success of those of us who have more brains and a bigger audience. And you can't let them do this to us. It wouldn't affect me personally. If I was banned from radio, it wouldn't affect me economically one way or the other. I'll tell you right now. I make a very good living, but I'm an older man, and I'm not in this for the money. Let me tell you right now, I am not in this for the money. I'm in it for the valor of the field. I'm in it for the importance of the field. But you will be the loser, liberal and conservative alike, if you let these people win.
Savage.
It was an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today.
All right. stop the song because this is not sad. That's terrible satire because it turned out that the Tucson madman posed with a Glock and a G-string the night before the shooting rampage. Gunman sought to develop racy pictures hours before shooting rampage from ABC News. I'm not making this up. A Walgreens in Tucson, Arizona turned over to police racy photos of a gunman, Jared Loftner, with a Glock and a G-string that were taken to the store to be developed the night before the shooting rampage that left 6 people dead and 14 wounded. The Pima County Sheriff's Office confirmed to ABC News they had received the photos from the store and turned them over to the FBI. The photos, presumably shot in a mirror, show Loftner, age 22, posing with the same make of a gun he allegedly used in the January 8th shooting. In the photos, he holds the pistol against his crotch and buttocks while wearing a bright red thong, sources told ABC News. Now, I don't want to read any more, but the fact of the matter is I believe that all photo machines should either be banned outright. I think that all thongs should be banned outright because they could be seen as part of a homicidal spectrum in the minds of those who smoke salvia and listen to certain music. And therefore, I think that there's a, or you can go further and you could appoint a commission to study the impact of photo machines thongs on the unstable in America. And I want to show that I have good intentions on this show, as I always have. And I'm going to go a step further. And that's why for the last hour or so on the Savage Nation, we've been soul searching. So we're never going to use the word targeting, aiming, bullseye, or things of that nature ever again on the show. And we're now playing songs from the Savage Rock and Roll archives, and we've decided not to play certain songs ever again because they could trigger a man in a thong, such as, like Shaboom, we're never going to play again. Could, for him, be a subliminal. Heartache could remind him of the girlfriend he lost, subliminal. And in fact, I may change my name altogether and not use even the word Savage as a show name. Christopher in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a bit nervous.
No, don't worry. You're only talking to a few million people. What do you care?
Well, I guess you're right. Well, that's what I'd called in about. You know, I call you Michael because I'm scared to use your last name. It could incite someone to violence.
And, that's right. The FBI could knock at your door also and say, did you call up and say Michael Savage, and what do you mean by the word Savage?
Well, out there...
It's on the airwaves, Christopher, and right now the government is on a hair trigger. Oh, I'm sorry. They're nervous. Sorry. I can't even say hair trigger.
The theme music to your show, it has guns and machine guns.
Oh, my God. We have to change the theme music.
By what That's... you say, they'll get you by what you play.
Well, you're right. I think that the word savage, I'm going to change the show. Let me think. Do you think if I changed it to the Michael Meekness show, the government would look the other way, Christopher?
Possibly. I'm not too sure.
Well, because it may be a blood libel against me forever that I even use the words, the name Savage, right?
Could you repeat that, please?
Well, I used the name Savage for 16 years. It could be used against me for the rest of my life.
That's very true. I mean...
And so even if I said I'm never going to call myself Michael Savage again, I'll call myself Michael Meekness, I could go into a databank in the Department of Homeland Security for having even called myself Michael Savage for all these years.
You wouldn't want to have blank on your hands by your last name, would you?
No, that's right. In fact, I don't even think the word blank should be used anymore. Because blanks imply a bullet, right? That's a blank. But and when you say blank, you think of the opposite of blank, right? The opposite of a blank is an actual bullet.
It's true.
So I don't think we should even use the word blank. I think it should be taken out of the English language. See, Christopher, when you start to put your mind to it, all fair-minded Americans can comply with the radical left. And I think that we should really, really, really do soul-searching and make certain that we're not using any words, phrases, or songs that could trigger a mentally imbalanced individual to go on a homicidal rampage. Well, thank you very much for helping me with this. Now, I started the program tonight by telling you we discovered today through, I think, Grover Norquist Tax Foundation, that just as I had predicted back in May, there are exemptions to Obamacare, but we didn't know the exemptions had grown so large. Obamacare targets the middle class, focuses on the middle class. Obamacare has specifically focused, not targeted, focused on the middle class. You will be paying for illegal aliens. They're exempt from paying taxes on the Obamacare. It exempts... there are religious exemptions. Only certain religions, by the way, need apply. Right now it's the Amish need not buy it, and Christian Scientists. But the list will expand, no doubt. Prisoners, of course, will not have to buy it. We don't know whether that means if you were once a prisoner or while you're in prison, but it could mean mainly if you were a prisoner, you won't have to pay the tax. Illegal aliens won't have to pay it, as I said to you, and American Indians. Now, the important thing to remember now is that there are so many Indian gambling casinos in America being run by individuals who are claiming such a small percentage of Indian blood that I think we could expand that category of exemptions to include most anyone. For example, there are many people listening to this show who may be 1/62nd Native American. So the question becomes, what percent of your blood has to be Native American for you to be exempted? It's a very important question. It's actually a very serious one, because in order to qualify to build a gambling Indian gambling casino, you don't have to be 100% Native American. You could be, let's say, I don't know what, is the government come up with a percent, a minimal percent, whatever it may be, a drop, one drop of blood, 1/62nd, 1/149th, 1/1000th, I don't know what it is. But using the same analogy, if you are even, let us say, 1/1000th Native American, you might be exempt from paying taxes for Obamacare, because somebody has to pay for the illegal aliens' health care, which we're doing already through the emergency rooms, but this will be in spades now what they're going to get now. They're going to get the Rolls Royce of medical care. You don't want them to have to go into emergency rooms. That's kind of racist unto itself when you think about it. Why should an illegal alien have to go to an emergency room for medical care? Even though you pay for it, it's kind of racist that they have to go to emergency room. I believe that with Obamacare, each illegal immigrant family should be assigned a doctor, a full-time 24/7 doctor, in their minority household to make certain that their health care comes up to the standards of the evil white. I think that's what's required in this country in order to have civility balanced and make up for past injustices. I'm serious about this. I mean, you have to look at things as they really are. Sacramento Harold, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, this is Harold. Listen, we got to take care of several songs that are my favorites and yours. Bobby Darin did Beyond the Sea. But look, you can't have a conspiracy theory with a song saying that somebody's on golden sands waiting for the ships to go by. That street, that just smacks of the Gulf of Straits of Hormuz.
Oh, you mean if we ban Beyond the Sea because it says on golden sands, that could be considered to be somehow offensive to people of Middle Eastern origin?
That's right. They watch.
Oh, and it could trigger some kind of a suicide bombing in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
That's true. Absolutely. I mean, that somebody could say that the song itself provoked them to go and kill people in Israel, for example.
Absolutely.
Well, they blame the Jews for everything else in the Middle East, so they could say that it was a Zionist plot that Bobby Darin sang on Golden Sands. That's right. I could see where you're coming from.
Started in the Bush Belt anyway in upstate New York, so that's clearly a connection.
Well, let me ask you something. Don't you think Al Sharpton is the perfect czar to oversee talk radio because of his sterling background?
I think he should be president.
No, I wouldn't go that far. We already have a superb Leninist Marxist as president. But Al Sharpton certainly knows more about radio since he failed in it. He certainly has knowledge of the field, and therefore he should become the czar of talk radio. Now, what rational government would not want to hear Al Sharpton's opinion on how talk radio should be regulated, Harold? I mean, think about it.
I think he should be the czar. He's got great knowledge of the Constitution as well. The guy's he's a genius.
That's right. That's right. All of his past experiences with bullhorns and inflammatory rhetoric would help him a great deal. Thank you for the call. Sacramento, Daniel, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, hello, Mike. Please put the kibosh on Rock and Roll Fridays. I want you to implement rap and Che Guevara t-shirt dress code enforced Fridays.
So you mean because it would be more sensitive and more inclusive?
Yeah, I want to make people feel good. Instead of Danny and the Juniors at the Hop, make sure to play gangbanger-induced hip-hop. You know, so...
Oh, stop. See, you know, Daniel, this kind of sarcasm that you're using could result in a visit by a knock on the door in the middle of the night, Daniel. They are listening. You know that.
I have a doorbell they could use, too. The other thing, Mike, is Michelle Obama could listen to this when she does her gardening in her victory garden and spills ice cream toppings on the iceberg lettuce and attracts ants.
There you go. No, she's an avid gardener, her avid victory garden.
Yes,
that was a great photo of the first lady in the bulletproof limo in Hawaii when they went over there, where she had ear things on, whatever they call them. She was wearing some headphone with an iPod That was very dignified. She's definitely the Jackie Onassis of our age, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's
as classy as Jackie O. There's no question about it. You just ask Vanity Fair. They know everything.
Mm-hmm. She knows how to dress.
And I think that really anyone who does not say that Michelle Obama is the classiest first lady since and including Jackie Onassis should be investigated for some kind of slur upon the presidency, Daniel, don't you think?
I think so, and I think you should do that.
And by the way, anyone who calls Obama a Marxist-Leninist, a suspect, because there's no evidence he isn't, but there's no evidence he is, other than his entire educational experience. Anyone who questions his college records, for example. Anyone who says the president has not released his transcripts from Occidental College or Columbia University, I think that they should be suspect for casting some kind of aspersions upon the presidency that may or may not be valid, don't you?
Yes, and I think Michelle Obama should stop eating frozen yogurt in the Victory Garden because she's going to attract ants.
Well, I don't think you should even talk about Michelle Obama in that manner. I think you should always refer to her as the First Lady. I think just saying Michelle unto itself is disrespectful and possibly threatening, Daniel. I think that kind of loose lip will sink ships. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44.
All right, stop it right there. Break that record. We can no longer play Gene Autry, Back in the Saddle Again, a song I played ever since my youth, because it could provoke violence. It could be a subliminal message in the mind of anyone in a G-string in a photo booth. And therefore, I think that these records now have to be, I think, broken. I think anyone having a Gene Autry collection should be investigated unto itself, if not, unless they voluntarily break the records or can show video proof that they've destroyed the old records. I don't think in that case the government should visit them. But if they refuse, if they're recalcitrant and do not turn over Gene Autry collections, I think Homeland Security has every right to investigate them. Albany Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you, and I have to say that I'd like to thank you for telling it like it is. But as far as this issue with a ban on photo booths, I think that that's the kind of propaganda that I would expect from the far left. A more appropriate reaction would be perhaps a 5-day waiting period.
Yes. No, I see what you mean. An outright ban would be a little draconian. But I think that the government could put in a reasonable 5-day waiting period for photos to be produced in a photo booth, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
in other words, let's say you take in your digital camera to a photo like Walgreens. All the pictures should be reviewed by a governmental agent. In any case, every photo ever taken from now on in America, I think there should be a Department of Photo Security created by the government, not even a Division of Homeland Security. I think we need an entirely new Department of Photograph Security.
Absolutely.
And then we could have someone along the lines of Janet Napolitano overseeing the development and printing of all photos in America.
Well, yes, and Dr. Savage, as far as that goes, and the use of inappropriate material such as a G-string, I think that perhaps we already have a resource familiar with our government, not our Secretary of State, but perhaps her husband, Mr. Bill Clinton, who would be very familiar with.
Well, I think that crossing a state line in a G-string should be a federal crime, frankly, because you don't know what the man might intend to do. I mean, if you cross a state line in a G-string and you're seen in a photo booth from now on, there's no question that that should trigger an investigation, Jim.
Yeah.
So I really recommend that people be very careful right now. 1-800-449-8255. Gary in New York, WOR calls. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I'm an expert on a certain type of religious exemption, specifically in New York State.
Right.
And I can tell you two things for sure. If the regulators of Obamacare require that you have to cite a specific religion,
right,
to qualify, it's going to violate the establishment. And
bingo, right. In other words, if they're saying if you're the Amish and Christian Scientists are exempt from paying taxes to pay Obamacare for religious reasons, that is discriminatory on the face of it, is it not, Gary?
It's true. It's I guess the precedent in New York State was the Wexler decision in 1987 in which parents who applied for the exemption were denied, and so the prior statute 2 years later was amended. Now, here's the problem.
Right.
If we can look at New York State and determine what the national scene will be, here's what's going to happen. In New York State currently,
yes.
If you want to apply for a religious exemption from immunization requirements, that's my expertise.
Oh, good. No, this is great stuff. So how do you do it?
Well, in New York State, what you have to do now is you have to identify certain aspects of vaccination which relates to a religious belief that is prescribed in your religion, and you have to cite a religion.
So give me an example. What religious belief would be violated by a vaccination?
The best one that is most successful, of course, is sanctity of blood issues. You can quote from Leviticus and other areas.
Wow. Oh, puncturing the skin, kind of?
It's common to... there's something similar for Buddhists and, of course, Judeo-Christians.
That's amazing. So that's an amazing legal technicality. Do you think there's a chance that thousands or more individuals could sue the federal government on a religious basis and be exempt from Obamacare taxation?
The problem is this, though. If that's going to be the regime... similar to what we have here, it's going to be very hard to get the exemption. Here's why. Because a person who claims the exemption in New York State and wins it cannot go ahead and a year later or 2 years later say, I like this vaccine, I want to take it. And if they take, because you're basing it on the practice of vaccination. And
so in other words, if you then accept the vaccination 2 years later, you owe the back taxes?
Well, here's what's going to happen. The government would say, okay, you're opposed to allopathic medicine, therefore you can't. There's all kinds of allopathic medicine. It would be very hard.
Okay, so it's not just vaccination; it would be all medication, period, other than homeopathic.
The religious rationale you would have to use is the one of betrayal of faith, meaning that you are. Your faith tells you that if you do certain things, you will be rewarded by God. In other words, you'll be... what's the word?
In other words, you'll be healthy forever if you pray a certain way every day, and it doesn't require vaccination or it doesn't require medication, for example.
Pray the commandments and...
And everything will be okay. So in other words, that's like Christian Scientists believe in that. That's why they don't use medicines.
The problem is it'll be negated if...
Say you're an attorney, Gary, and I trust that you know what you're saying. Isn't it on the face unconstitutional to say that religions such as the Amish and Christian Scientists shall be exempt from excise taxes to pay for Obamacare, but Christians, other Christians, Jews, Muslims, etc., have to pay? Isn't that unconstitutional?
If we can rely on precedent, I think it will. But I'm not an attorney. But I have.
Well, but you know what you're talking about. You studied the issue. There are many aspects of Obamacare that are unconstitutional, and that's why I use the Schechter Brothers case. Gary, let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. I'd love you to read the chapter on Obamacare and how to repeal it, and call the show next week after you get it and read it, and tell me if you think my plan for repealing Obamacare holds water from your point of view. This is the Savage Nation, by the way, and the website, michaelsavage.com, has almost every story we've touched on, including photos reportedly show naked Loeffner with a gun. You know, I've tried to make mockery of this lunatic because that's my way of coping with tragedy. If that's a crime and if I've offended anyone, I apologize in advance. It's how I cope with darkness, through light and laughter. If you don't get it, then join the government.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back. see what's on MichaelSavage.com. Savage calls for tariffs on China. So did Donald Trump. We agree on that, maybe on other things as well. I don't hear anyone. I don't hear anyone in the Republican Party calling for tariffs on China, do you? I don't. Well, it's in trickle-up poverty. On the top right of MichaelSavage.com, you're not going to believe this one. The so-called Council on American-Islamic Relations, CAIR, has a poster on its website that says, build a wall of resistance, don't talk to the FBI. It says, the group's website promotes an upcoming conference amongst Americans who are of Islamic relations that encourages people not to talk to the FBI, and they says it's a misunderstanding, and they're going to remove it from their website. And what's interesting to me is that here we have a group that I've had trouble with in the past. They've come after me, and they say, build a wall of resistance. Know your rights and defend our communities from grand juries. You hear this? Don't talk to the FBI. They're instructing members of the Arab American community, or shall I say the Islamic American community. The poster appeared on the website of CARE's California chapter, incidentally, features a sinister-looking FBI agent with the headlines, build a wall of resistance and don't talk to the FBI. The poster was designed in the late 70s or early 1980s, and it's been reproduced by various groups and activists, meaning left-wing fanatics, anti-Americans, in response to alleged harassment by the FBI and to protest grand jury subpoenas. I think it's subject to misinterpretation, said spokesmouth Abraham Hooper when speaking about the poster. We decided out of extreme caution to take it down. The poster was promoting a conference entitled FBI Raids and Grand Jury Subpoenas, Know Your Rights and Defend Our Communities. And who was the keynote speaker? Hatem Abduya, identified by CARE as a activist and Palestinian community leader whose home was allegedly raided by federal agents in September. Well, I'm glad to hear that the FBI is raiding someone other than Tea Party members. That's good. Well, anyway, there's more to it than meets the eye. What's amazing to me is that our Homeland Security Department fears returning military veterans, people against abortion, etc., more than they do members of CARE. It's amazing to me. Just amazing to me. Former FBI Assistant Director Bill Gabbard, notice former, they all speak very tough when they leave the FBI or leave Homeland Security or leave the government. Suddenly they speak out. Well, anyway, he said that it's sending the wrong message to the Muslim community. No kidding. Really? Well, for more information on CARE and the FBI poster, go to MichaelSavage.com and read the whole story linked up from Fox News. It's very disturbing. To me, it's a fifth column in this country. One man's opinion. One man's opinion, but then again, what can I say but what I've already said? What else? How about the psycho, the Tucson shooter? The psycho shooter from Tucson, Jared Loftner, posed in a G-string with a gun before the rampage. Accused Arizona shooter Jared Loftner took photographs of himself wearing nothing but a red G-string and holding a Glock 9mm gun before going on the rampage, shooting Congresswoman Gabrielle. Well, you know the rest of the story, right? G-string and a Glock? Well, you can't make any jokes about this, can you? But G-string and a Glock, I mean, I don't get that one. Do you, Beowulf? I mean, how does that work?
It's bizarre. It's psychological problems there, to say the very least.
Well, the libs will say he slipped through the cracks. Society failed him. The kinky photos were turned over to Tucson cops by Walgreens staffers just days after Loftner, age 22, dropped them off to be developed before Saturday's attack. This is according to the New York Times on their website. In some photos, Loftner can be seen toting the gun near his crotch. In the others, Loftner is seen holding the gun near his naked buttocks. The odd photos come as mourners gather today for the funeral of Judge John Roll, who was killed in the shooting. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's just unbelievable to me what's going on in this country. Dignitaries at the funeral included John McCain, John Kyle, former Vice President Don Quayle. And, well, why go into the funeral? But there's something bizarre about this whole story that hasn't come out yet. Very, very odd. And I don't know when, the next shoe is going to drop on this, but something else is going to come out. I suspect there's more to this than meets the eye. Or shall I say, than meets the fly. 1-800-449-8255, MichaelSavage.com. Never let a crisis go to waste, said Rahm Emanuel. And apparently the left wing is still in a very sour mood, still attacking the conservatives, still blaming people on the conservative side for the shooting, even though there's no relationship whatsoever to politics, according to the shooter's best friend. I guess they're still locked into global warming and such, and the world is coming to an end. Did you hear about the Earth moving on its axis? That's the latest one. I guess I'm watching too much Nat Geo. There are so many other stories dressed in a red G-string. Tom Brokaw said, I would be nervous going into a bar in Arizona. Speaking of Arizona, I haven't any idea what he's talking about. Why would he be nervous going into a bar in Arizona? The question is, what kind of bar does Tom go into that he'd be nervous? I mean, you know, really. What do you mean he'd be nervous going into a bar in Arizona?
Maybe Why? They're not his kind of people.
Gun control is too simple a phrase to define all the complications and nuances of it, frankly, said Tom Brokaw. In Arizona, they have a wide-open system. I would be nervous about going into a bar or restaurant in Arizona on a Saturday night where people can carry concealed without permits, said Tom Brokaw. Of course, if people had carried when this jerk had started shooting, maybe some of them would be surviving, huh? An Arizona shooting survivor, by the way, still is blaming Palin, Beck, and Engel for the tragedy. Did you hear this one?
No.
Did you hear this one yet, Beowulf? No. One of the survivors of the shooting is blaming Palin, Beck, and Engel for the tragedy. Eric Fuller, a man shot in the leg and wounded under the back, says it looks like Palin, Beck, Sharon Engel, and the rest got their first target, Fuller says. Their wish for Second Amendment activism has been fulfilled. So he already has his enemies carved out. Matthew says that birthers are usually some crackers on the right. The old sea lion without tusks is bellowing today. Let's see what else. Newt Gingrich introduces an appeal to legalize illegals, calling it something else. Jane Harmon, the radical left lunatic, says Giffords shooting a teachable moment for gun control. Let's see. Krauthammer, who's he?
You know the guy.
Krauthammer.
Shows up on Fox.
Sauerkraut Hammer. He's very sour. Very, very. He's very sour. Oh, Sauerkrauter. Why is he on television, Sauerkraut Hammer?
I guess he knows the right people.
Morning Joe, the fake Republican Scarborough, says Palin's political career is over. Look who's talking. I would say his media career was over before it began. There's a lot of other news. I'm going to go back to michaelsavage.com and take a look at it with you. Here we go again. Let's see what else I have up there, because Sweden is looking to combat Islamophobia, by the way. You got to see this story. Sweden's integration minister, Erik Ullenhag, is meeting with representatives from the Swedish Muslim community to develop a strategy for combating Islamophobia in the wake of the Stockholm suicide bombing. You talk about the Stockholm syndrome. It doesn't get even more Stockholmish than this. So a Muslim set off a bomb in Stockholm, and the Swedes in Stockholm are blaming themselves?
Nice to know.
Is that a definition of the Stockholm syndrome?
I think so. It's nice to know that sensitivity is a priority over survival.
Well, that's right. You don't want to offend anybody.
Of course not.
This is the definition of the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Their captor.
You know, identifying with your captors, right? Geriatric New York gangster, age 93, gets 8 years in prison. A New York judge has given an 8-year prison sentence to a 93-year-old mob boss, Johnny Sonny Franchisi. He's so old that his recent extortion trial became nap time, even when his turncoat son testified against him. The government asked the federal judge to sentence Franchisi to at least 12 years for racketeering. Anyway, this is crazy. Investigators caught him on tape in 2006, describing his favorite recipe for making bodies disappear. Dismember victim in kiddie pool. Cook body parts in microwave, stuff parts in garbage disposal. I'm not making this up. It's sickening, just crazy. Maybe 8 years is too little. Wild weather, what's behind global warming? More than 1 million people affected by severe flooding in Sri Lanka, Australia, and Brazil. It's El Nino, folks. It's not global warming. Savage says Matthew's remarks is malicious libel. Read about it on my website. Arizona murderer did not watch news or listen to talk radio. Did you know that? Probably not. If you go down to michaelsavage.com, there's 4 stories you have to look at. FDA orders lower doses in prescription painkillers, mainly acetaminophen. Watch it, people. A coach, a high school wrestling coach, is also a UFC fighter, was thrown out of high school, put on leave because he insulted Obama. Can you believe we're living in an America where a high school coach can't criticize Obama without losing his job?
I guess the First Amendment that Gabrielle Giffords valued so much isn't so valuable after all to some people.
No, and speaking of that, Catholic leaders are warning of a totalitarian Venezuela where Pineapple Head Chavez, a good friend of Jimmy Carter, is taking over every aspect of society with a little help from his liberal buddies from New York City. Well, that's it on michaelsavage.com, 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
Robert Gates at Great Wall of China on nuclear strategy with China and his productive visit. What's productive? What did Robert Gates achieve? He was humiliated by the Chinese military, who mocked him, mocked America, and laughed at him by introducing a stealth jet that apparently can fly rings around our best airplane. So now listen to Robert Gates, the worst defense secretary since McNamara, in clip 28.
I think that the discussions were very productive and set the stage for taking the military-to-military relationship
taking
to the next
you know
level.
What?
Had a good visit to the 2nd Artillery Corps this morning.
Wow.
I invited General Jing to visit Stratcom, and he has accepted. And I think
that's
this
nice.
Is part of the step-by-step process.
He went to visit an artillery corps, and we'll take him inside a nuclear submarine when the Chinese come here with their cameras. I love this. They love reciprocity, the Chinese. You visit ours, and we'll visit yours. That's like when you were a kid in the first grade under the stairs in PS-48. You know, we're on the demise, and we have the worst possible administration in history at this moment. Instead of having a militaristic militaristic leadership, we have a pacifist leadership that will get us all whacked and turn us into slaves. That's what we fear. That is what most Americans fear, who understand the dangers of China, the dangers of Venezuela, the dangers of the enemy within. That's what we fear. Listen to clip 31.
Do you think it's wise, though, to keep China in mind as a potential competitor of the United States on a military level?
Let's stop right there. There's the baggy-eyed Bolshevik, the set piece, Jim Lehrer, the baggy-eyed Bolshevik, a fellow traveler of the worst kind of PBS. He's there with Gates, and he's actually challenging the defense secretary and saying, listen to what he said. Do you think it's wise to keep China in mind as a potential competitor on a military level? In other words, no, Jim. Look the other way. There are friends. There are friends, Jim, and your lifetime goal will be achieved. We will become disarmed in your lifetime, and we will become serfs on the world stage. So let's play that again, 31.
Do you think it's wise, though, to keep China in mind as a potential competitor of the United States on a military level?
Well, we obviously have to be mindful of the, and I referred to it a minute ago, of the Chinese military modernization programs.
They're
anti-ship cruise and ballistic missiles that potentially can put our aircraft carriers at risk. new fifth-generation aircraft, there's been some news stories about that.
Well, at least Defense Secretary Gates stood up to the baggy-eyed Bolshevik fellow traveler, fifth columnist, Jim Lehrer, on that one. This is bigger than any other issue, because if we lose our freedom, what's the point of anything else? That's what worries me. China's a communist dictatorship. Make no mistake about it, there is still a communist dictatorship. And if you don't know that, you don't know anything. Eric in New York on WOR, you have a strong opinion on this. Go ahead, please. It's brilliant.
Yeah, Michael, it makes sense to me why the military would share the military-industrial complex would share their information with the enemy. I mean, how else are they going to keep getting those huge appropriations every year?
In other words, when we woke up to the fact that the Chinese developed a stealth fighter that was better than our best, suddenly they can go and say to Congress, see that? We need more money for the F-35 or whatever?
That's it.
So, in other words, it's like firemen starting fires in order to justify a budget for more firemen?
Except, in this case, I guess the analogy would apply, because people would be in danger if those wackos over there would actually use that military stuff. But other than that,
That's a pretty incredible insight, Eric, and I wouldn't doubt that there isn't some of that operational. Of course, how in the world could we even know if that's their thinking? It makes sense from an economic point of view. Which is what? Give them just enough to scare the American public into demanding more money for the military-industrial spending complex?
I mean, wasn't Eisenhower who said that?
Yes. Oh, we have the speech, and I was the first to replay it over and over again. And of course there is a military-industrial complex, but we have to be very careful that we don't let the pacifists like Obama use the speech by Eisenhower to kill our military altogether, Eric.
You know what I think, Michael? I don't think that Obama has any kind of influence over the military. I mean, he's the president, of course.
Right.
But these guys are so entrenched in what they're doing. They are so well situated.
You think that they're running on their own steam at this point, and there's almost no input whatsoever?
I guess that group. They got their own thing going. That's what I think, anyway.
Well, it's one man's opinion, Eric. It's a brilliant insight, and I thank you for that. Listen to Dwight D. Eisenhower, a brilliant president.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Well, there was the man who led the invasion of Normandy. He was the Supreme Allied Commander, so I would think that he knew from the inside what he was talking about. So what would you like to talk about? Tucson, Beijing, baggy-eyed Bolsheviks, Salvia, Sylvia, or Saliva? All is possible right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You got to go to the San Francisco Bay Area to see crazy, crazy. It's one thing nationally to see crazy, but if you want to see crazy, crazy, you go to the website of the local newspaper. Here's a headline. Man caught at airport with 44 lizards in pants. We'll let that one go. Next headline. Is 16 too young for a sex change? Is 16 too young for a sex change? That's the main question mark here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Well, it's not too young. If the parents are insane, why should the children be crazy? I want to look at the lizard story myself. Why would a man bring in 44 lizards in his pants, I want to see. Let's see how they wrote this one up. A German reptile collector. That unto itself is rife with poetry. A German reptile collector. I've got to pore over those words a few times. A German reptile collector has been jailed for 14 weeks. Why 14 weeks? Oh, it's in New Zealand, I see. And must pay a $5,000 New Zealand dollar fine for plundering New Zealand's wild gecko and skink populations, a judge has ruled. That's a complicated story. Hans Kurt Kubis is to be deported to Germany as soon as he's released from prison. He was caught by wildlife in a Christchurch, blah, blah, blah. He was about to board an with the 44 geckos and skinks in a hand-sewn package concealed in his underwear. Well, it could have been his sexual preference. I don't think that he was necessarily smuggling endangered species. If he's from Germany and he's visiting New Zealand, there's a high likelihood he could get off on this charge by saying it was simply his sexual preference, that he likes skinks and geckos. And it had nothing to do, it's not your business, don't look at my pants. So, you know, why do you jump to conclusions? 1-800-449-8255. Bay Area woman in wedding party slain in Antigua, that's a heartbreaker. Again, Antigua. Isn't that where Holloway was in Antigua? One of those islands down there in the Caribbean that... Yeah, I think it was Antigua. Anyway, this poor woman goes to a wedding party in Antigua. She is having a barbecue with family on the beach. She wanders off the barbecue, and they find her stabbed in the neck and molested. And they have a suspect. He has a gold tooth, and he's a local. But you have to read the story 18 times to find out who actually did it. I think they actually wanted to blame an Irish nun for the crime. The way most terrorism, as you well know, is not conducted by Islamic terrorists. It's conducted mainly by Christian nuns, primarily Irish nuns from Cork County. A study was done by the FBI which says that most terrorists are Irish nuns from Cork County, Ireland. And they're on the lookout now for nuns from Cork County, Ireland, who may be coming into America to disperse information about Jesus. And they are definitely on the watch list of the Obama administration. So, let's go to the callers, that's all. Oh, she was missing in Aruba. Well, that's Aruba to me, Aruba, Antigua, it's all about the same. I don't like that area. I don't like the area, personally. I had an aunt that I'll tell you personally why I don't like Aruba or that area. I will tell you why, because I've spent time in the real deep tropics for so many years that I'm a snob, I'm a tropic snob. Once you have collected medicinal plants in the far reaches of the archipelago of the Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Cook Islands and such. A person who goes to Aruba, there's nothing to it. There's nothing exciting about it. In fact, one of my aunts who passed away many, many decades ago, and I loved Adili, all she talked about was her trip to Aruba and Curacao, and I couldn't wait never to go there, to be honest with you. Pittsburgh, PA, Phil, what's on your mind? Go ahead. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak to you. I'd like to tell you, I'm about 40 years old, and everyone lives here, and it's because we have such a backwards cronyism style of Democrat politics. Everybody votes party ticket till they die. Our roads are full of potholes. It's just,
Well, in San Francisco, the roads are full of pot. You're a step ahead of us.
I wouldn't go there, but I did have a question for you. Talking about the gentleman that they found in New Jersey, was it? I'm getting ready to buy my first concealed carry handgun, and I wanted to see if you had any suggestions for which route I should go with it.
Now, do you currently own a handgun?
No, sir. It'll be my first one, but I've been going to the range frequently. And
all right, I can give you advice. First of all, I have or had an advertiser named Kel-Tec, and they make an incredible 380 handgun. That is the smallest and lightest handgun made. And I actually picked it up when I went to Florida. For some reason, I couldn't get it in California. It's amazing. It has a laser sight on it. And I got to tell you something. There's nothing more frightening to a perp than having a red dot that scans the ground as you search for him, and the dot goes on his head. It tends to take a little of the vinegar out of their attempts to do something to you. Now, it's a small gun. A 380 round, don't kid yourself, you don't want to get hit with it. I would use it as a backup gun. I would not use it as a primary. As a primary gun, you got to use something on the order of a 357. I love, they're not an advertiser, but the Smith Magnesium, the Magnolite, is an amazing weapon. It's got a tremendous, powerful kick on it, though, because, again, it's made of such lightweight material. You have a conceal and carry permit in Pittsburgh?
Working on it.
Well, they're hard to get, as you well know, and you have to decide how bulky you want it. What are you using it for? Are you in police? You're not in police work.
No, sir. We do sports shooting frequently, but it's never gotten to the point where I was actually. I was previously married to a trauma nurse, and the rule was no guns, no motorcycles.
Yeah. So. Well, you need a gun in a house. Every home should have a gun. Every house in America where there's a legal American citizen should have a handgun in it. That's the first rule of America. Was have a gun to protect yourself. That's number one. It would reduce the crime rate overnight so that they wouldn't feel you're going to sit there and dial a security company. Help is on the way. Don't you love those ads on TV? It's always a scared white woman in the house with two children. The husband left her to run off with his boyfriend, and she's alone with the children. And the burglar is always a white guy who looks like a fraternity, a white guy in a fraternity. He breaks in and... Oh, she runs upstairs and she dials a security company, and they got a whole room full of people. Oh, don't worry, help is on the way. Anyway, my favorite handgun in the world is still the best, most accurate, but they're not a conceal and carry gun. It's the old 45. You know the one I mean, the old military grade?
Old 1911.
You can't beat that gun. It's so heavy. It's so accurate. It's accurate. It's easy to shoot because it's so heavy, and it's easy to track, but it's not a conceal and carry gun. Let's not turn this into a gun show. I knew someone in the radio business who committed Harry Carey by doing this on a regular basis. Common sense. Something that a person in your family who had not been brainwashed would have figured out 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They're all gone today. They're all gone. Where is everybody today? What happened to their brains? Where'd they go? No plans to run in 12, 16, or 20, anything, says Bloomberg. Thank God. Just because he's hiring a top Democratic political operative doesn't mean he's dreaming of the White House again. Okay, Mayor Bloomberg, this is a message to you from Michael Savage. You have as much chance to become president of the United States as, let's see, Manish Shevitz does of becoming the favorite fish of Saudi Arabia. Does that work, Maywolf? Because Manish Shevitz does put out a gefilte fish line, incidentally. I found out they're not limited anymore just to a bad wine. Mayor Rupert Bloomberg, I call him Rupert because I don't know his first name. Rupert Bloomberg has as much chance to become president of the United States, let us say, as Manish Shevitz does to become the favorite wine of the Saudi prince, for Saudi king. First of all, they're not supposed to even drink wine over there. That's number one, but I don't think it would be Manish Shevitz if they did. This guy, another one, an egomaniac. It reminds me of the rich, you know, the rich that they used to say years ago, they talked about a former mayor of New York, Ed Koch. I was never a fan of Ed Koch. He struck me as a garment center guy who got very rich in the needle trades and then thought he knew everything about nuclear physics. But that's what they said he was like. This was a guy, they said that no matter if you were a nuclear physicist and you talked to Ed Koch, he would argue nuclear physics with you as though he knew more about the theories, the current theories of nuclear physics than you did. And he would try to always beat you in an argument, even if you know what the hell he was talking about. To me, Mayor Bloomberg is about the same type of personality. So as I say, there's no chance he could ever become president. Not, why is he doing ego?
Savage.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were eight and you had bad
traits. It is time for the tabloid moment on the Bad Boys show, the Savage Nation. Let's not go highbrow, let's go lowbrow. I gotta ask this question. I've never touched on this, but it's a very interesting topic to me because so far, I know a lot of guys who are very attracted to women. They can't stop. I know guys who are old and they date constantly, constantly thinking of sex and women and love and romance and candles and dinners and bed, constant, they don't stop. Is that an addiction or is it called a life force? In this country, everything is it's turned into a disease. Childbirth, a natural process, a once natural process, was turned into a disease by the medical establishment. How could this be a disease if a man is attracted to women into old age? Isn't that something to celebrate rather than to medicate? How do they do these things? Anyway, you want to talk about sexual addiction. It's a tough topic to talk about without getting stupid. But I don't know, is there such a thing as sexual addiction? What does that actually mean? That you like sex a lot? By what standard? By what is the norm for sexual desire? That should become a disease? At what point does it become a disease? What if a person just simply likes to have sex? And it's consensual. He's not hurting anybody. He's not married, let's say. Let's put aside the moral issue of married. So now the guy is single or the girl is single. And they just like to have a roll in the hay. Where is the addiction part in that? Explain that to me. I don't understand where that is. There are some people who are, by the way, disinterested in sex. From the earliest age, they could live without it. And they're good looking, some of them. I met them in my life. Once I met somebody like that. Once. I heard there were others. But... Generally, people who are alive want sex. If you're alive and you have a life force in you, gusto. Remember eating with gusto, what that once was, where you dove into a meal and when men would dive into a plate of food and slurp it? That was gusto. Who eats with gusto now? Everyone's so refined. They're so refined. Everybody eats with indifference. Everything's indifferent. But that's called a life force. That keeps you alive, doesn't it? Well, you don't want to talk about it, that's all. Oh, here's a caller on sex addiction, and where is it coming from? This is so much better than talking about Obama and his communism. No, really, believe me, this beats him. First of all, he's on the way down. Listen, this guy is sinking under his own weight, so you don't even have to do anything with Obama right now. The less you say about him, the better. Because each time he talks now, his poll numbers go down. The press is no longer in love with him. The independents already said, you know, take your BS and shove it. And the diehard, you know, left-wing fanatic Democrats who live on welfare and get government contracts, they're never going to stop liking him any more than the Bushies stop defending Bush to the end. So don't even talk about Obama. Just let him keep doing his thing. Oh, I'll talk about that in another way. I mean, I watched a movie last night about the Dr. Zhivago. I had seen the David Lean version years ago. Was it Julie Andrews? No, who was in that? The David, who? Julie Christie, so beautiful, like you fell in love with her, right? She played Laura. Who was the lead? The guy, not Omar Sharif. Omar Sharif, he was great as Dr. Zhivago, but I saw a better version last night. I don't know. It was on a channel called Oviat. I don't know what Oviat is. It sounds like something to do with ovaries. I don't know where it comes from, but it's a weird channel on cable now. Oviat. It almost sounds like an odd channel. But it isn't. They have all of these wonderful classic movies like Madame Bovary. So this was like an English version. It was so well done about the Russian Revolution and what communism actually brought to the country. the horrors of communism. We'll do that later. I want to go back instead to something very American. Only in America could we turn sex into an addiction and a disease. So there could be treatment and treatment facilities, and the health insurance industry has to pay for it. Don't you get it? Everything's an illness and needs a pill and a treatment, and then the government has to pay for it. The government picks up your sex addiction. And here's another question for you. If you've ever been in a sex addiction clinic, tell me the truth. Call whatever you have to do. Change your name, of course. Cover the microphone. My guess is a good place to meet women and have a little fun. Mark in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, you're cracking me up today. It's really funny.
I'm in a good mood. I feel liberated. So what are you going to tell us about sex addiction?
Well, I think I've probably been one all my life.
You're one of them folks, huh?
Well, it's not a. In the 50s, we used to have Make Out Lane or whatever in the convertibles and listen to the music you play on the radio.
That's right. In fact, I thought about that last night. I said, in my day, we went out in a car and we got in the back seat. But where is it up with you today? Are you a real nutcase or what?
Well, my friends maybe think so. I'm 58. I've got a 19-year-old girlfriend. Really,
oh, you son of a gun. You had to ruin my day, huh?
No, I've just always had a healthy sex appetite. I raised a
family.
Yeah,
but is she with you for your money or for your sex drive?
Well, I just had a heart attack. I'm living off
of it. Oh, God. From her?
No. Actually, when I was near death, I said a prayer to God. And apparently, my prayer was answered because that's what I
wanted. What do you mean? When you're near death, you ask God for a new girlfriend?
Yeah, I thought, I can't die. There's a girl out there that needs me. And by God, I pulled through an amazing. I only had.
Well, where'd you meet her? How'd you meet her?
Well, I met her playing checkers on the internet. And after a while, we just thought, wow, we could really live together better than we live apart.
That's amazing. You found a compatible mate playing checkers on the internet?
That's been over a year now. I mean, if she wanted to leave, she would have been gone.
But before your heart attack and before the girl. When you say sex addiction, how many times a week did you have to be with a woman to feel sane?
Oh, fairly often. I've went out every Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, and sometimes I even dated twice in the same night. If a girl had to be home by 9, okay, get her home at 9, and then I'm off.
Yeah, but when you say date, Mark, I mean, I don't want to get graphic. It's a family show. Do you mean you always had a woman and you always wound up in the bedroom with her?
Well, now, that's going too far. You don't have to have actual sex. You can do an awful lot of things with a woman. Just kissing and cuddling for long periods of time will do. When I turned 14 in school, I got my motorcycle license. There's always a girl that wants a ride home. And once the parents know that you're safe, you can sit there and make out till they get home. And they come home, they say, well, who's there? It's just Mark. And they let
All right, so you had a high sex drive, and now you had a heart attack while you smoked?
And I still smoke. I like it.
well, we're not going to go there. Smoking, I think, is the biggest factor in a majority of heart attacks amongst males. Number one factor is the smoking. It's probably a higher risk factor than the saturated fat lie.
Well, we can eat right.
All right, we'll go. And this is already getting on the bordering on. Jane in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm a psychologist, and I love this gentle path place. I wish I owned it. Unlike my colleagues, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in
you. So you agree with me that this whole idea, the whole notion of sexual addiction, is kind of ridiculous.
Of course, it's another pathologizing of human behavior. It can be a neurotic attempt at anxiety management, but in general, it's somebody won't say no to themselves. It's not an addiction. You don't.
A neurotic attempt at anxiety management. That's a pretty good statement unto itself. A neurotic attempt at anxiety management. Of course, it would be healthier to manage the anxiety by playing golf, I suppose, rather than to run around with sleazeballs. But you agree with me. A lot of this is just simply turning this into a medical situation in order to treat it as such and to use health insurance.
There's huge amounts of money. And once it has a code, it's going to get paid for. So absolutely. It is a compulsion.
Well, will sex addiction be treated under Obamacare? I can guarantee it will.
Are you kidding? It'll probably be before heart disease, sure.
Oh, my God. Everyone, like now, they're all bipolar. I love it. Every time they catch a criminal, he was bipolar before he committed the mass murder. And it was an undiagnosed bipolar disorder.
Job security, I can probably go into this.
Jane, you're a psychologist, probably a little older, I suppose. explain to me with this bipolar crap. What does it really mean, bipolar? People are depressed and happy, and they go up and down like every other human being? What do you mean bipolar?
Everybody's bipolar.
Everyone's bipolar, right. You have another Obamacare item to check off on the box.
You know, it's really a shame.
So you're a great psychologist. How do you fix people with sex addictions?
I don't think, well, first of all, I don't go near it because it's a compulsive behavior. There's choice involved, and if you say there's choice, then there's no...
Let's talk about female sexual addiction known as nymphomania. I once did an interview in the year 2000 with a woman who wrote a book called Nympho, A History by Carol Groneman.
It's a power deal for women. It's not about having orgasms. I think it's a different thing than for men in general.
It is?
And yeah, it is. And most men who are promiscuous, it's a choice. It's a compulsive behavior that has an element of choice in it. They're not going to go and withdraw if they don't do it. It's a moral issue.
With the advent of Viagra and hair growth formula, there's no end to it, is there?
Savage.